Oh man, those videos are so good and they only get better. I'm so thankful to preach after them because they just do such an amazing job. Why don't you guys pray with me and let's go. Father in heaven, I praise you, God, for the privilege that it is to stand before my friends tonight. I thank you for all that you are doing in their lives. I thank you for how special this school is, God, and the teachers, the staff, the church that it is affiliated with, all of these, God, just are special. And Father, thank you for this week, for them to be here. But God, tonight, we need you. Lord, we need you. We need you to reveal our deepest need to us, God. We need you to reveal what is broken, what is bent about us. Father, there is no good news without bad. There is no gospel without what the gospel is the solution for. And but God, oh, we want to fight. And we want to excuse ourselves and we want to justify how we are. So we need your help. We need your help. So come, come and be so in this time that God, as we gather around your word, we want you. Glorify your name in drawing us to yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. How are you guys doing? If you guys have a Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13. And I noticed last night that a lot of you guys had a Bible, and so I want to tell you ahead of time where we'll be. The story of the video that you just saw is from 1 Samuel 13, and it is done so well. Here's what I want you to do. I encourage you guys to do. It's from chapters 12 and 13. I'm going to preach on a very small part of 1 Samuel 13, but I encourage you guys at some point, probably tomorrow, maybe tonight, you got a lot of stuff going on. I encourage you guys to go read that story because they did such a good job in that video portraying what takes place in the passage. And so it'd be good to have both things going on. So tonight I want to start with some good news. You guys want to hear some good news?
Yeah.
Oh, this side's loud. How are you guys? Okay. Yes. So listen, I know what you were created for. I know what you were meant for. You know, it's crazy because so many people, as they get older and as they become adults, it's like, that's the thing they want to know. They want to know, what was I here for? What was I made for? What purpose was I created for? But I know what you were created for. You were created for God. That's why you exist. Okay? And I need you to track with me here. You with me? You were created. You exist to bring glory to God. And that is really good news. You know why that's good news? Because you know what will make you happiest. You know what will actually satisfy you. Here, I want you to follow me here, okay? If you were created to bring glory to God, when you are bringing him glory, you are doing what you were created for. You don't gotta search. You don't gotta wonder. That's what you were created for, to bring him glory. And when you are doing what you were created to do, that is where you are most happy. That is where you are most satisfied. That's where you will find your truest identity. And oh, you got a whole world going on around you that is just screaming to know what their identity is, what they were created for, what they were meant for. Why am I even here? That's what you're here for. That's what you're here for, to bring glory to God. And when you believe that and when you trust that, that is where you will find the truest and deepest happiness that you will find on the face of this planet. But we have a really big problem. A really, really big problem. Adam and Eve ate some fruit. You guys know that story? Adam and Eve ate some fruit and they were made just like you and I were made to bring glory to God, but they wanted glory for themselves. They were not content to be what God created them to be, so they wanted to be something else. They settled for something less. less than what they were made for. They said, oh, I'm designed, I'm built to bring glory to God. That's what I'm supposed to do, but I want some of that glory for myself. And their settling for less broke every other human being that came after them, including you and including me. We are now broken. There's something fundamentally wrong with us. We want and we prefer things that are less than God. We're bent in that way. We were made, created, designed to bring glory to God, but we're bent this way. And I want a little bit less than what God has for me. I'm bent towards smaller things. We settle for less than what we were made for. We settle for less than what we were made for. And when we settle for less, when we prefer, when we want anything over and above God, the Bible has a word for this. It's the word sin. It's the word sin. Sin is when we settle for anything that is not God. But here's what I want to show you tonight, and here's what I want to prove to you, if I can, from these scriptures and from the story of Saul. Getting the sin is bad, not just because it's a bad thing, but because it's settling for less than what you were made for. And whether it's like in the short term where like real bad stuff happens because you sin, or in the long term, in that it just makes you into something you were never meant to be, sin is always the worst choice. It's always the worst thing. Not just because I'm waving my finger at you and saying, oh man, you did the bad thing because you're a sinner. You did the bad thing, you sinned. No, it's settling for less than what you were made for. You don't want that. You don't want less. No, but no human being wants less than what they were made for. Every human being, Christian or not Christian, they want to be happy. They want to be satisfied. They want to know what their identity is. They just keep settling for less than what they were made for. That's sin. Now the real bad news. Here's the worst news that you could ever hear. It's what we learned last night. We get what we settle for. We get what we settle for. We've been learning that since Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were created, designed to bring glory to God. They wanted to reject that purpose and get glory for themselves. They settled for a piece of fruit, and it killed them. We get what we settle for. That's really bad news. I wish that every time I reached for something that was less than God, it electrocuted me. I wish every time a thought entered my head that kept me from God, that kept me bringing glory to God, I wish every time it entered my head, it shocked me or lightning bolt hit me or I felt like a burning in my neck or something. But that's not how it works, huh? That's not how it happens. There's no fire from the sky. No, we're not struck by lightning. In fact, most of the time, we're not stopped at all. Our hand reaches out, it grabs the fruit, and we eat it, and it destroys us. And guys, that's the worst news of all. We get what we settle for. In the Bible, in Romans chapter 1, Paul calls this a piece of God's wrath. This is the punishment for our sin. He says that God gave them, these sinners, us, up to the lusts of their hearts. In other words, what they wanted is what they got, and that was God's wrath towards them. See, we have a weird view of sin. We think we get away with it when we don't get punished for it. We think, like, I tell the lie, no one finds out about it, so it's not bad. That's not how the Bible views sin. Hear me say this. Everybody look at me when I say this, and I want you to think really hard about this for the next few days. Sin is the punishment. Sin is the thing that kills you. Getting the thing that kills you is not good. And that's what he's saying in Romans 1. God keeps giving them over to the things they want, and the things they want are destroying them. He keeps giving them over to the things they want to settle for. They get it. And that's terrible news, because we constantly prefer things to God. The sin is the punishment. The settling is the punishment. We don't get away with anything, you guys. Sin makes us less than what we were made for. It destroys us. And this is the worst thing we could ever get. So listen to this, okay? Getting what we want when what we want destroys us is the worst thing for us. I'm going to say that again. Getting what we want when what we want destroys us is the worst thing for us. It is, in short, what the video called a tragedy. It's a tragedy. And this is what sin does to us. And this is ultimately sin, this settling for less than what God has. It's ultimately what destroys Saul. And it doesn't begin with him murdering somebody, right? You saw it. What'd he do? He just got really frustrated and he disobeyed God and he lit a thing on fire. That's what he did. It doesn't begin with him robbing someone. It doesn't even begin with him denying God, saying like, oh, I'm better than God. It just, he disobeys him. It starts with him settling for what is less than what God has for him. Look at, if you turn to 1 Samuel 13, start in verse 8. And what's going on here is what was very, very vividly portrayed in the video is they're going to war. And Saul's been winning wars, but this is a big army that's coming after him. The Philistines are coming and they're going to destroy him. They are going to win unless God steps in. And God promises victory. But Samuel says, dude, I'm not coming for like 7 days. Don't do anything until I get there. I need to light the sacrifice. Okay? That's what's going on when we get to verse 8 in chapter 13. Supposed to wait. Samuel's supposed to come and do it. Saul is not even allowed by God's law to light the sacrifice. Samuel's got to be the one that does it. But Saul's freaking out, right? Because his huge army's coming. His dudes are bailing. They're hiding. They're abandoning him. And so Saul's freaking out. So look what happens in verse 8. Saul waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel, but Samuel didn't come to Gilgal, and people were scattering from him. So Saul said, bring the burnt offering here to me, the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. Was he supposed to do that? Is that what God had for him to do? No, right? Not only that, that's against God's law for Saul to do that. Good choice, bad choice?
Bad choice.
Real bad choice, right? Let's keep going. Verse 10, as soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And you get the picture here that just like in the video, you get the picture that like as soon as Saul was lighting it and he's like, and got it going and it starts flaming up, Samuel walks up. You get the picture that Saul wasn't even willing to wait the whole 7 days. There's Samuel. He's there on that seventh day. And Saul went out to meet Samuel and greet him. Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattering from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and that the Philistine had mustered at this one place, Mishmash, I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. In other words, what he says here, I did what I had to do. I did what I had to do. Just like in the video when he says, God wanted fire. He wanted me to give him fire, so I gave him fire. And Samuel looks at him and says, God doesn't need fire. God doesn't need your sacrifice. He made the fire. That sacrifice is his. He doesn't need anything from you. He gave you something to do when you settled for less. He asked for your obedience. What Saul did was he pushed God's commands to the side because he saw and he looked around at all the circumstances that were happening. He was like, nah, this is probably the right choice. I'll go and light the fire myself. He's saying, I'm losing people. The Philistines are coming. I don't want to die. So I think God would probably be okay with me disobeying him here. That's what he did. He looked around. He said, like, dude, this is a really scary situation. I should probably go and take care of this myself. And the thing is, you guys, on one hand, he's not super wrong, right? On one hand, he's in a real terrible situation. He might die. Like, if this army gets there and destroys him, he's gonna die, and all of his people are gonna die. So at this point, obedience to God is not easy. It's not even necessarily logical, right? Like, this huge army's coming, and I'm sitting here waiting for a prophet to light a fire. I'm not just gonna go fight. That's not easy. That doesn't even make sense. But it's what God said to do. And guys, can we be honest? Can I be honest here? Saul, what Saul does actually kind of seems right to us, right? Because we're like this. It's like, if the circumstances are bad enough or the situation is right, then we're kind of okay disobeying God. We're kind of okay settling for less. You know, if we call ourselves Christians, we're generally, we're pretty fine with obeying God. Like, we know that's a good thing, right? If I asked you guys, obeying God, good choice, bad choice? Good, right? How often? All the time. Dude, you nailed that, like, that quick. How often is it okay or right to obey God? All the time, right? But then we have these excuses. If it doesn't really make sense to us, or it's kind of inconvenient, right? Like, we say things like, but this makes me happy, so it's okay, right? Or but he made me so mad, so it's okay this time. Or they hurt my feelings, so it's okay this time. Or I'm too busy. Or for you guys, I'm just a kid. I'm just a young person. This is what I'm supposed to do, right? Everybody expects me to make mistakes, so it just makes sense. Or I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable obeying God. And so he'd understand, right? And all of these, you guys, and the thousands more, all of these are regular excuses for absolute disobedience, settling for less than what God has called us to. And we tell ourselves it's okay. But if I boil that down to the most simplest terms, all those excuses are reasons for us to sin. And we tell ourselves it's okay. We tell ourselves sinning is okay. But just like Saul's reasons, not one of them is acceptable to God. Not one of them. It does not matter how crazy the situation looked. God is not okay with Saul's disobedience. Look at the results that happened in verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly." In our terms, what you just did was super stupid. You made a stupid mistake. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom. Listen to this. God would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a different king, and the Lord has commanded him to be leader over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. That's crazy, right? What he tells him is, for your sin, for you settling for less than what God has for you, you lose your kingdom. If you would have obeyed God, listen to how simple it was. If you would have just waited for Samuel to get there and light the fire, your kingdom would have lasted forever. But because you settled for less, your kingdom's going to end. And that sounds dumb, right? Like, oh my gosh. Same with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, you would have lived in happiness, in bliss, in joy with God forever. Or you can eat that fruit and take some glory for yourself. It sounds so stupid, right? It sounds ridiculous. But God takes his kingdom for lighting the fire. And can we be honest one more time? Is that a little harsh? I seem a little harsh to you? I mean, honestly, like he lit the fire so they could get to fighting, right? It was like, yeah, it was settling. Yeah, it was sin, but like it was like a little sin. If we're honest, it's like a little sin. He lit the fire and he gets his whole kingdom taken away? The entire thing? Doesn't it sort of seem like an overreaction on Samuel's part, if we're honest? Or even maybe an overreaction on God's part. We believe, if we're honest, and we're trying to be honest here, sometimes, man, it feels like I don't know, like God's justice seems a little too harsh. If for us, we feel like we should let Saul off the hook, right? And some of us do. And I like, when I first read this, I'm like, dang, right? Like Saul, all he did was light the fire. He could have just been mad at him, but he took his whole kingdom away. But I want you to see something. You know why that's the natural reaction for me and you, if you're honest? Is because we relate way too closely with Saul. We settle for less than what God, we're settlers with Saul. Like lighting the fire didn't really seem like that big of a deal. Disobeying God didn't seem like that big of a deal to lose everything. And hear this clearly, you guys, tonight. Can you hear this? We take what God says far less seriously than he does. We take what God has spoken far less seriously than he does. We take our disobedience, we take our settling for less, far less seriously than he does. We believe, if we're honest, we believe at times God should just accept us giving it our best shot. Like we tried, right? We are better than some people. It could be worse, right? All I did was I told like a little lie, right? I just stole a little thing. I gossiped a little bit about that person behind their back. I had a really bad thought in my head, but no one got hurt. So if we're honest, so often we think God should just settle for our inconsistency. Okay, I know you said to do that, but I'm just gonna do this like one time. Like I'm just gonna settle for this one time, right? If we're honest. But guys, I want you to know this and have this be very clear to you. And this is gonna make all the more sense even tomorrow night. God does not settle. He will never settle. We do, but he won't. In fact, we need only to look at the price that he was willing to pay for our settling if we should know how seriously he takes what he has said. And it costs the cross of his son. The cross is not too harsh of a punishment for my sin. It is perfectly fitting to my settling. It is perfectly fitting to my disobedience to what God has said. And guys, we will never ever take what happened at the cross as seriously as we should until we see our settling for less than what God has, for what it is. It's sin. Outright rebellion and wickedness, fully deserving of the full wrath of God. We have to see our sin that way. We have to see our sin in that way. So when Saul disobeys God one time, he's guilty and his kingdom gets taken away. My one sin was worthy of the cross of Christ. And it is not until I understand that I will begin to understand just how amazing the grace, the undeserved love that our Father poured out for us. We'll never understand it until we can see our sin for what it is. Till you, even now, the age that you are, until you can see your sin for what it is, the cross will not be as beautiful as it should be to you. But Saul did settle for less. Saul breaks God's law. He sins, right? He sins. Is he guilty or not? Totally guilty, right? How can he not be? How can he not be guilty when he breaks God's law? But we need to pay very close attention to his story. And I hope I've been able to prove that to you tonight, because we are like Saul. His problem is our problem, right? And God stripped him of his kingdom for one act of disobedience. His problem's our problem. We have broken God's law. We have settled for less. We sin. If he's guilty, I'm guilty. If I'm guilty, you're guilty. Do you know that? His problem's our problem. And now we get to the really big problem, the problem, the worst problem. If we know we're guilty, I know I'm guilty. I hope through the story of Saul, you can begin to understand that you are guilty. That if there is a true, righteous, holy God, you are guilty before him. Here's the question. How can we be not guilty? Is it possible to be made unguilty? Can we make ourselves not guilty anymore? So if I've broken God's law, I'm guilty. If I've sinned, I'm guilty. If I've settled for less than what I'm made for, I'm guilty. If I've preferred anything over God ever, I'm guilty. How can a person like me be made unguilty? It's kind of like this story. Guy gets arrested for breaking the law. Stands before the judge. Judge hits the little hammer. You're guilty. And the guy yells back, why? And the judge sort of like chuckles and he says, well, because you broke the law. And he says, well, what if I try really hard to keep the law now? Can I go free? And he says, no. And he goes, why? He goes, because you're still guilty for breaking that law. And he asks the question, I don't want to be guilty anymore. I don't want to be guilty anymore. How can I be made not guilty? And the judge says, that's a great question. And guys, that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow night. But let me pray for you. Father in heaven, thank you, God, for the grace that it is to give us the bad news, that we have settled for far less than what we were made for. We have robbed you of glory. We have settled for smaller, lesser things than what we were made for. God, help us. But God, I pray that you would bring every one of my friends in this room to the painful yet true knowledge that they are guilty before you, that they have settled for less, and that they need a way to be made unguilty. And I pray with all of my heart, Father, I pray with all of my heart that God, they would come to the end of themselves, they would come to their understanding that they can't make themselves unguilty, and that that would help them to look for and to hopefully come to know a Savior that can make them unguilty. In his name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.